I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
But we appreciate Paul Hoynes ripping himself away from all that great New York stuff to join us right now on the fan hotline. He covers the Guardians for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Hello, Hoynesy.
Hoynesy!
Hi, Jeff, Andy. Sorry about that, man. I forgot. I just forgot.
You're on New York time. It doesn't matter.
You got stuck in a deli. There were no seats, and you had to wait. We understand. First of all, how about a win at Citi Field for the Cleveland Guardians, who, as Tom Hamilton pointed out last night, with Nemo, Lindor, and Soto, the top three guys in the lineup, making more money than the entire Guardians team combined. Outstanding.
That was something else. That was a crazy game. The last time they won a game against the Mets in New York was at Old Shea Stadium when CeCe was on the mound, CeCe Sabathia. So they had lost six straight there. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but you know they don't play these guys very much. So that was significant.
CeCe probably had hit a home run for himself in that game too. Wouldn't shock me.
Could have used them last night.
Oh, man. I want to ask you, when Kwan walks back into the clubhouse after the trade deadline, how much of a boost is that to the guys that are currently on this team?
I think it was a big boost, Andy. He's a big part of that ball club. Just from talking to him, you know, you could see kind of like the weight off coming off his shoulders. He was excited about staying, and I think excited about knowing where he's going to be for at least, you know, through the remainder of this season.
Wednesday, when the trade deadline came and went, and there were a couple of little moves, and we understand we'll get to Bieber in a second. I just thought, wait a minute, look what the Padres gave up for Mason Miller, closer. Look what the Phillies gave up for Duran from the Twins. Man, Emmanuel Clase, had he been able to go, would he have been moved? And I can only imagine the haul that they could have gotten for him.
Yeah, I think they would have seriously considered trading him, Jeff. Just where they are right now, You know, you're still eight games back in the division, but, you know, two and a half back in the wild card. And we all know how messy the wild card is. It changes day to day. And I think they would have really seriously considered trading him. And, you know, he would have been the best closer out there. It just, you know, it's kind of a double whammy. You know, that not only do they not have him, but they can't trade him.
Points of their lockers cleaned out, Ortiz, Clase's lockers cleaned out over at Progressive Field. August 31st, they're out until then. I can't think, is there any possible way Major League Baseball says, hey, fellas, you're good to go? You're back in September, or even that you're back next year?
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
Me neither.
Jeff, I mean, I'd be surprised if it happened. I mean, and, you know, you got to presume these guys are innocent until proven otherwise. MLB doesn't make a habit of taking guys off the field for nothing, you know, with Ortiz and Class A. Obviously, something's going on. We've got a pretty good indication of what they were doing. You know, the Ortiz gets swept up first. Then the Ortiz investigation leads to Class A. He gets swept up in this thing. Who knows what's going to happen. Just from talking to different people, you know, no one would be surprised if this thing gets extended beyond August 31st.
Are people making too much out of the fact that their lockers were cleaned out? Like, Hoynesy, I've seen them have guys on the roster that, like, weren't there for, you have too, obviously, for a year that still had a locker that they didn't take the name off of. I mean, that's... You tell me.
Yeah, no, you know, I thought that kind of stood out like a sore thumb, definitely. You know, you even took the name tags off. You know, it's not like they're running out of space in there. That thing is like, the Taj Mahal, the new locker room. So, you know, they did the same thing with the guys that were traded, Seawald and Bieber. You know, they cleaned out their lockers and took out the name tags. But, you know, seeing Class A and Ortiz's lockers cleaned out, you know, and I mean, they hadn't touched them, you know, since Ortiz was you know, got caught up in this thing. And what was that, July? So July 3rd. So, you know, that was significant, I thought. There was, they know more than we know. You know, I don't think they know a whole lot, the ball club, but I think this was just, you know, a way of, you know, closing the door and saying, hey, we've got 26 guys here. These are the 26 guys that are going to, you know, finish this season, and we can't count on anybody coming back.
Paul Hoynes joining us, covers the Guardians for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hoynesy, what was the biggest push behind the trade for Shane Bieber? Was it that maybe they didn't think he would be able to pitch this year and help them? Was it that he wasn't going to pick up his option? Or might it have been they were afraid he would pick up his option?
Yeah, I think all of those played into it, Jeff. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, it's such a weird kind of deal. You know, you put what you put almost a year and a half of rehab into a guy. You know, you want to see him pitch. He's on the doorstep of pitching well, you know, of coming back and finally helping you out. And then you make the trade. I really think it was the contract. I thought, you know, probably Bieber, you know, if there was enough interest to trade for him when he hasn't pitched since what, April of 2024, if there was enough teams interested in him, there were going to be enough teams that would have you know, paid him at the end of the season and paid him more than what the $16 million the player option he was going to get in 2026. So I think that played the predominant role.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hoynesy, it's interesting. I was just kind of looking through the lineup from last night, and I believe for the majority of the game, they only had one guy that was hitting under 200, because these numbers have come up a little bit.
Hey!
You know, I'm just, within the game itself, yeah, they have multiple guys that are hitting under 200, but I think if you had a lineup of nine at one point, there was only one moment there where eight of the nine guys were hitting over 200. Why is the offense getting a little bit better?
The bar is very low.
The bar is very, very low. But at least I don't feel bad when I see Rocchio stepping up there at 231 now, the way I was before.
We're taking baby steps here, right?
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, the whole club is playing better. I mean, they've won five of their last six, 17 of their last 24. They've hit the good spot. I mean, outside of the Mets obviously are loaded, but they, you know, this has been the soft spot in the schedule. You know, they'd kind of gone through the ringer in the first half as concerning playing clubs with 500 or better records. And, you know, they're playing better and they're pitching better. I mean, Ciccone, you know, has just done a great job for them, I think. I mean, if you had to talk about the biggest surprises on the ball club, I think he'd be at the top of the list.
Hoynesy, Andy and I were just kicking around in our last segment. The one thing that, and they've been treading water, they're still right there in the wild card race. They could make the playoffs. That's all terrific. But if you look at guys who have had opportunities this year to win a job and to eliminate any questions, like, you know, Rocchio, shortstop, Arias, shortstop or second base, Angel Martinez, what's going on in center, right field, they're, I don't know that they've answered any questions with their position player group this year. And I think that's a shame, because I was hoping there would be some this year.
Yeah, you know, I think, to me, I think Arias is kind of won the shortstop job. I like the way he's played there. But, you know, and I think that's almost a product of the way Boat manages, you know, that really nobody has a regular job except, you know, Kwan and Jose Ramirez. And but everybody else, and Santana, I guess, at first base, but everybody else changes positions on a nightly basis. And I don't know if that's conducive to, you know, to guys just saying, this is, you know, I should be in right field every day. I just don't, I don't know if that's part of it. But, you know, I think Arias, you know, the fact that when he came back from the ankle injury and they immediately put him back at shortstop and moved Rocchio to second base, I thought that was significant to me.
Let's talk about the Nick Enright story from last night. I what a great emotional story, and for a guy that has really battled hard off the field to make sure that he even had a chance to be playing baseball right now, when you're dealing with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I just, like, that story last night, I don't know how your clubhouse and your teammates can't be inspired by him.
Yeah, that was a great, great outing by him. And, you know, they gave him the beer shower after the game. You could hear them hooting and hollering in the locker room while we were talking to vote after the game outside the locker room. And they're going to have to depend on this guy, Andy. You know, because without Class A, you know, you're looking at Heron's down in Columbus. You're looking at a bullpen, with Cade Smith, Gattis, Sabrowski, and now Enright. You know, they're going to have to carry the load at the end of the game. And, you know, big ups to Enright. Just did a great job. He was so fired up after the game last night when he was talking to us. You could really tell it meant a lot to him. And, what Boat said after the game, he goes, you know, what this guy's been through, I think he can handle pitching in the 10th inning against the Mets at Citi Field. I mean, he's gonna be able to slow the game down. I mean, you saw him, intentional balk to third base. Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the second one we've seen, right?
Yeah, but they must think guys are stealing signs, right? That's the only reason why you're doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Caused a fight the first time we saw it earlier this week.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, Cade Smith did it against Houston, I think. So, you know, I thought that was the sole property of Bob Wickman back in what?
Oh, man.
Back in the Metrodome.
It was an intentional balk. I'm like, what?
Paul Hoynes is joining us from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Hoynesy, with Chase DeLauder out for a while, there goes that idea of seeing if he can be an everyday player. But Jonathan Rodriguez back to Columbus as Cephas comes up. Junkenzie Noel has been trying to find it all year, you know, at various times. He's in Columbus. Do you think, barring injury, that Noel and Rodriguez are done as far as high level prospects, and do you take DeLauder out of that because of the continuing injury and just keep kind of rolling and looking for somebody in right field?
Yeah, I think you've got to, Andy. You've got to do that. I mean, you know, I don't think Big Christmas got a fair shot here, I would think they've got to draw that conclusion. Jonathan Rodriguez, I mean, you know, those guys are in such tough positions. They're used to playing every day in the minors. They come up here, they play twice a week. You've got to produce. You're facing the best pitching in the world. It's a tough, you know, only certain guys can do that. And I always think, why are you putting a rookie in that position? Why don't you get a veteran guy that can do it? You know, that has done this, that has been through the mill, that can sit and still be productive. But they never do that. And I don't know if that's, you know, they don't want to pay that guy, or it's just they want to recycle these. You know, they're just looking for, you know, lightning in a bottle.
Lindor in a Mets uniform still looks bad to me, Hoynesy.
Oh, my goodness. He tried his hardest to beat them last night, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy. You forget what kind of player he is, Jeff. He's a good player. He's, you know, just think if you have Jose and Lindor still on the left side of that infield. I mean, my goodness.
Well, dare to dream, right, Paul? Hey, buddy, thank you for your time today.
Thanks,
we appreciate it as always. Enjoy New York.
Sorry about being late, guys. Thank
no
you.
Worry. That's no, all never right. worry.
We appreciate it. Paul Hoynes. Joining us on the Fan Hotline, and Hoynesy in New York covering the Guardians against the Mets
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.